memory of Rachelea Bas of Chaim Tzvi. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Reish Ayin Vav Sif Dalet indicates that after we light the Hanukkah candles, we've made all the brachas and we light the candles, we say a little paragraph that begins with the words Haneros Halolu. These candles, it describes a little bit about the candles. This practice, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't spell out the entire text, but it's printed in all the Siddurim. I imagine many people get in the mail various different papers and sheets that have Haneros Halolu together with the Hanukkah brachas and the song Moos Tzur printed out in various different colors. And it's our practice to say this little paragraph when the candles are burning, just as we lift the candles. It comes from a Braisa Masechet Sofer in Parakhof Halacha Vav, where the text is written out. That's not exactly the text we have. There are variations, so different customs. But I'd like to focus on one line that appears in this paragraph, Haneros Halolu. It says, Haneros Halolu Kodeshim. These candles are sanctified. They have kedusha. They have sanctity. And the question is, what does that mean? The candles are holy? I mean, yes, we're performing a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a beautiful mitzvah. But it's hard to understand. Usually when we speak about something that has kedusha, that has significant halachic ramifications. Just because something is used for a mitzvah doesn't mean automatically that it has kedusha. It's a holy item. That's an item that has sanctity to it. We don't usually speak of a piece of matzah having kedusha, having sanctity, in an exaggerated sense. If we're just using the term kedusha to define something that's important, okay, but we don't speak of matzah being holy. Even on Sukkot, when we use the lulav and esrog, we assume don't have any kedusha to it. In fact, these things are called tashmishei mitzvah. These are items that we use for a mitzvah. As opposed, let's say, to a Sefer Torah, or a pair of tefillin, or a mezuzah, which is written and includes the name of Hashem many times, those are items that have an inherent sanctity, inherent kedusha. But Hanukkah candles, not the word I necessarily would have chosen when thinking of the term Haneros Halolu Kodeshim. What do we mean by kedusha? So very often, the term kedusha implies that the item cannot be used in any other manner other than that for which it has been designated. The real word, it's an interesting, you know, the term holy or sanctified, what exactly does it mean? When I was a little kid, I was always wondering, what does it mean when something's holy? Does it mean it has a glow to it? You know, does something shines? And obviously not. What do we mean when we speak about something having kedusha? So the real definition of the word kedusha, in terms of its shorish, its Hebrew root, kuf dalad shin, kadosh, kedusha, means something which is special or set aside, not mundane, not of the ordinary. And so therefore, for example, when we recite Kiddush, same word, same root, on Friday night, what we are doing is we are declaring that the day that's about to begin is different, is special. It's not the norm. It's not the mundane. It's something unique, something special. In the Beis HaMikdash, and again, Mikdash, same word, we had different areas within the temple compound. There was one area where anybody could go, provided you were tahor, you weren't ritually impure. But then there was an area called the Kodesh. Not everybody could go there. It was set aside. It was designated specially. Only Kohanim, only the priest could go there. And then there's a section within that called the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of the Holies, the separate of the separate, the designated of the designated, which even the regular Kohanim didn't go into. Only the Kohen Gadol went, the high priest and Yom Kippur. So the term Kuf Dalet Shin, Kadosh, Kedusha, Kiddush, all the same, all from the same root, implies something which is not mundane, not ordinary. And in that sense, it's perhaps what's meant when we say Haneros Halolu Kodeshim. You know, the laws of Hanukkah, as presented in the Gemara, are found for the most part in just a few pages in the second chapter of Masechet Shabbos. There is no Masechet, there's no tractate in the Talmud called Hanukkah. We have for the other holidays. Most of the other holidays have their own tractate, their own Masechet about them. But Hanukkah doesn't. Hanukkah appears, it comes in kind of incidentally. The second chapter of Masechet Shabbos, which is familiar to some people because we say the Mishnayos in Shul in many communities Friday night between Mincha and Maariv, Bameh Madlikin. By Mehmed Likin, talks about lighting Shabbos candles. So those who studied Gemara know that very often when the Gemara discusses one subject, so it goes off to a side subject that's kind of related to the previous subject, and then they'll spend time on that second subject. So the connection is pretty clear. The Perek by Mehmed Likin begins, Daf Chof Amud Beis in the Gemara, talking about lighting Shabbos candles and what types of oils and what types of wicks can be used for Shabbos candles. So it's not a huge leap to move from there to discuss Hanukkah candles. So the Gemara says, on the very bottom of Daf Chof Aleph Mun Aleph in Shabbos, Omar Rav Huna, Psilos ushmonim she'amru chacham ein madlikin ben b'shabbos ein madlikin ben b'chanukah ben b'shabbos ben b'chol. The Gemara says that the types of wicks and oils which the chacham said you shouldn't use on Shabbos, you also shouldn't use on Chanukah. Why? Because the Shabbos candles are meant to be used. The purpose of Shabbos candles is to have light at the table. That's what we have. We today live in a society where we have electricity, so most of the time the light in the house on Shabbos and other time is from electric lights. But at one time, if you didn't light candles, it was dark. So the entire idea of lighting Shabbos candles was in order to have light at the table, to make it a more pleasant atmosphere, to make the meal more exciting, to make the meal more enjoyable for people, and so on. So there are various rules. For example, you're not supposed to light on Shabbos the Shabbos candles with a foul-smelling type of resonance, like a candle or oil that doesn't smell nice, because people won't want to sit in that room. Right, it may provide light, but if it has a foul odor to it, so people won't enjoy it. The whole idea is to use candles and to have light that people will enjoy. So the one opinion says the same thing is true about Hanukkah candles. And the Gemara explains, because the basis of this opinion is regarding the Hanukkah candles, that mutar lishtamesh la'ora. You're allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah candles. And Rashi explains, Hilchoch b'Shabbos osur shemiyatel tzorach tashmish. If you're using it, we're afraid that on Shabbos, you know, you'll move the candle a little closer to you. And of course, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the basis of that opinion is that you're permitted to use the candles, the Hanukkah candles, for your own benefit, to enjoy the light. However, the Gemara continues, V'rav chista amar madlikin b'hen b'chol. On a Hanukkah night, on a weeknight, you can use the very same types of candles that you can use on Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. Why? Because we're not worried that a person is going to use the Hanukkah candles as light. You know why? Because Osir Lishtameish La'orah. Okay? So the point is that a person... It's also lishtamesh la'ora. You're not allowed to use the candles on Shabbos, because on Hanukkah, for your own lights. We're not concerned that a person is going to tilt the candle, bring it closer, because the Hanukkah candles are not for use. Okay, again, reading the Gemara, Amar Yirmi, Amai Tamid, the Rav, Kosovar, Kof, Sein, Zokov, also lishtamesh la'ora. It's forbidden to use on Hanukkah these candles for your personal use. So we have here in the Gemara a dispute, two opinions, actually it's a middle opinion I read, but basically two opinions as to whether or not you're permitted to use the Hanukkah candles for your own personal use. The first opinion is yes, and therefore we have this concern on Shabbos that you may go ahead to use the candles, and therefore we follow the pattern of Shabbos candles. However, the other opinion says, no, you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles at all for your private use. In fact, Hanukkah candles are in that sense diametrically opposed to Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles you're supposed to use, you're supposed to benefit from. Hanukkah candles you're not allowed to benefit from. If so, we don't have to be concerned that a person may come to use it. That's what Rashi says, Lekka l'meichosh la'toya. We're not worried the guy's going to use it on Shabbos because you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles. So what we've come up with here suddenly now is a statement that Hanukkah candles are not permitted for private use. So if that's the case, perhaps that's what's meant by the phrase in Haneros Halolo, Haneros Halolo Kodesh Heim. In what sense are they Kodesh? That's the very next line in that paragraph. It says, Ve'ein lono rishus lishtamesh bohem, elo lirosom bilvad. We're not permitted to use them, but only to look at them. So that's what the Gemara concludes. It's a dispute, but as we'll see, the accepted view is that we're not permitted to use the Hanukkah candles for personal use, whether it's on Shabbos or on weekday. We don't use the Hanukkah candles. They've been set aside for the mitzvah. So therefore, the concept of Hanukkah candles having Kedusha means they are separated or designated for a different purpose, namely the mitzvah, not for private use. And therefore, it would be inappropriate for somebody to sit down, let's say, by the light of the Hanukkah candles, or read a book, or write something down using the Hanukkah candle lights. That's what the Gemara mentions. Now, as an aside, there's an interesting question. Perhaps this is a dispute because there are other indications in other Gemaras that that's not the case, but we'll accept for now the view, as Tosus says on this page, Daf Chof Aleph Beis and Shabbos. The Tosus actually begins on the bottom Chof Aleph and Aleph. Dibur Matzul Mutar. Tosus says V'chein hilchusa the ner Chanukah asur lishtamesh laora. The halacha is that the Chanukah candles you're not permitted to use its light. Rav Yosef, and he quotes different authorities that say this, and that's the consensus view as well among the among the majority of the Rishonim. It's interesting as a side point. The Kolbo in Hilchos Chanukah, one of the early works from the time of the Rishonim, he writes that a mitzvah, so to speak, is a representative, if you will, an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints the mitzvahs to be his emissaries, his agents, to deliver inspiration to the Jewish people who observe the mitzvahs. He says it in kind of flowery terms, and he says, therefore, it's as though God says, when you treat my mitzvahs with respect and treat my mitzvahs with the correct honor, it's like treating me that way. Right, so therefore we're supposed to have respect. The Chanukah candles are not meant for me to sit by the light and read or to do my own private activities by that light. As a matter of fact, and this is not the main subject now, but that's why we have, one of the reasons why we have an extra candle, a shamish, another candle. It's not part of the calculation of each night. Let's say tonight will be the second night of Chanukah. We'll light two candles, but we'll light a third candle, a different one, the shamish, so we can use that light in case a person needs the light. But in any event, that is the ruling of this Gemara in Shabbos and the position of Tosfos. Now, why is that so? Why should there be a prohibition to use the Chanukah candles for your personal use? What's the problem? I'm not lighting it for that purpose. I light it for the mitzvah. But now I want to read a book with the dark in the room. Why can't I use the candles? So Rashi says, his reason is, sheyehei nikar shehu ner mitzvah. It has to be recognizable, it has to be noticeable that this is for a purpose of a mitzvah. If you're going to sit and read by the light of the candles, it looks as though the whole reason you lit it, because you needed light in the house to read your book by, or to do your work by. Rashi seems to be telling us that the purpose of having Chanukah candles is to, one of the ideas of Chanukah candles is that it should be noticeable to you, and to anybody who might see you, that you are doing this for the purpose of Chanukah candles only, and not for your own personal needs. And in fact, other Rishonim say this, similar kind of an idea. As a matter of fact, the Rosh, for example, writes more than that. The Rosh says that if a person will see that I'm using this candle for my personal use, he'll say, that guy didn't light Chanukah candles. That guy lit candles because he needed light in his house. Right? So this is something we want to avoid. Haroah omer l'shem tashmizei d'lika v'lo l'shem mitzvah. And others to take it a step further, Rabbi Yonason Milunil, one of the Balei HaTosis, in his Sefer writes that it's almost an insult to the mitzvah to use it for your private needs. What kind of business? I have a candle that I lit, lekavod, in honor of Chanukah, and now I'm using it to write my shopping list or to read the newspaper by. It's almost like an insult to the mitzvah. People think, the only reason the guy lights Chanukah candles is because he wants to enjoy the light. And therefore, according to Rashi and these Rishonim, the purpose of this restriction against using Chanukah candles for your own personal need is so that it always remains clear, nikar, recognizable, obvious, that the only reason I lit these candles is because there's a mitzvah to light Chanukah candles. Again, how different from Shabbos. Shabbos, the purpose of lighting the Shabbos candles is to use them. That's why we have Shabbos candles, but not so by Chanukah. Chanukah, we're lighting it for the mitzvah, we're lighting it because we have to publicize the miracle, we'll see a little bit later, but therefore it is inappropriate to use the Chanukah candles for your own needs, for anything other than to have them there to be seen, but you're not allowed to use them for any other purpose. Now, the question is, what do we mean by any other purpose? What do you mean, any other purpose? I can't do any other purpose. Let's say I'd like to sit and learn by the Chanukah candles. Is that okay? I have a sefer, it's dark in the house, and I'd like to learn, I'd like to do something. Let's say I'm in charge of the tzedakah, and I need to count the tzedakah money. I want to do a mitzvah. Would that be okay? Because if you're going to tell me that it's a little bit of an insult to take the Shabbos, to take the Chanukah candles, and to use, to use them for your personal needs, that I understand. But what if I'd like to use it for a mitzvah purpose? That's not an insult. So that's an interesting question. Okay, may I use the Chanukah candles for something which is positive in terms of a mitzvah? Learning Torah, learning Gemara, learning Chumash next to the Chanukah candles. So the Baal HaMa'or, one of the authorities that's printed in the back of most editions of the Gemara, page Tesamon Aleph in the pages of the Riv, the Baal HaMa'or actually says that that is the nature of the dispute in the Gemara that we started with. So that's exactly the point. But I want to show you how he gets to it. He says something very interesting. He says, "Leman de Omar also l'shtamish la'or shel ner Chanukah." He holds that the one who says, the authority who holds that it's forbidden to use the Chanukah candles for any purposes, kol tashmish b'mashma. He means any purpose. Afilu tashmish to mitzvah, the tashmish kedusha. Even if it's for a mitzvah, even if it's for something that has kedusha to it, doesn't make a difference. You don't use the Chanukah candles. Why? Mishum de kosavar, kevon shehem zecher l'neiros u'l'shemen shel heichol, asuros hein kol ik v'hano kol ikar, afilu likro b'sefer, v'afilu l'sudas shabbos u'l'sudas mitzvah. Listen to the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says, you know, why do we light candles on Chanukah? We're commemorating what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, the menorah that existed in the Beis HaMikdash, that was, of course, lit all the time. The menorah was lit all year long in the Beis HaMikdash, not just on Chanukah. But the menorah was lit all the time. That was something which was part of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, the service in the temple. And a person is not permitted to use anything to do with the temple for any kind of personal needs, even if it's for a mitzvah. That's a special din. It comes up in a number of places. It relates to the halacha called Me'ila. I'm not allowed to have any personal benefit, whether it's something my own shopping list or it's learning. No. Something in the Beis HaMikdash was set aside for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash only. So says the Baal HaMor over here, since the Chanukah candles were instituted specifically because we want to commemorate what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash you weren't allowed to use the light of the Chanukah candle, of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Chanukah candles you can't use either. That's the opinion of the Baal HaMor. He says that's the authority who holds you're not allowed to. Why? Different than Rashi. Rashi, we said before, and perhaps others, the Rashba and others, say it's a matter that doesn't look like it's recognizably for the mitzvah of Chanukah. But the Baal HaMor is a different take. He said it's not a matter of it being recognizably for Chanukah. It's a matter of this connection to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Baal HaMor goes on to say that, well, according to the other authority in the Gemara, who holds you are permitted, so then it would be okay to use it for most purposes as long as it's not something that's a bizayon, something that's belittling. So certainly, according to the other opinion, if you want to learn by the light of the Chanukah candles, you want to have a meal, people are coming over, and you need the light in the house. Again, it's hard for us to relate to a little bit because we have electric lights, but imagine for a moment the time there's no electric lights, and these lure the lights in the house, and you're having a Sudas Mitzvah, or you're having a learning, or you're having some other the Shabbos, you want to have the Sudas Shabbos, it would be perfectly acceptable to use the Chanukah candles for that purpose. You see, the Gemara later on, in the same Masechta, the same section, Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara in Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph quotes a specific statement that says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Asi, Asur lahartzos maos keneged ner Chanukah." You can't count money by the light of the Chanukah candles. And Ki Amrite Kame de Shmuel, when I spoke about this to Shmuel, Amar Levichi Ner Kedusha Yeshba. Why not? Does the Ner have Kedusha associated with it? Is the Ner sanctified, like the question we started with? It says so in Aneros Halolo, Aneros Halolo Kodeshim, and we mentioned that some hold that there's actually a dispute about it. But the conclusion of the Gemara is it's not a matter of Kedusha, but rather Shelo Yehei Mitzos Bzuyos Alav, that the Mitzah should not be belittled. So to sit and count your money, I would extend that, you know, to sit and make up your shopping list, or, you know, write down some numbers, or today, to text by, you know, on your cell phone, by the light of the Chanukah candle, that's a tashmish of bizayon. It's mitzvah bzuyos alav. But if it's something which is a mitzvah, that for sure should be allowed. So according to the Baal HaMor, that's actually the dispute in the Gemara as to what the nature of the prohibition is. But either way, according to the one opinion, the person opinion that holds that it's usher to use the Chanukah candles, it's because it's modeled after the candles, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash, of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Others disagree. The Ramban, for example, over there, and the Ran disagree. I'll read from the Ran. The Ran says, the halacha is usher ishtamish la'or. You can't use the light of the Chanukah candles. Perish kol tashmishin, vafilu tashmish mitzvah. And that's all usage, even for a mitzvah. The kevan shayde nation asa menorah tiknua, asua kemenorah shayim ishtamshin, vaklal. Says the Ran very simply, since the whole mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles is to correspond to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, which they lit, so you're not allowed to use it for any purposes. Okay? And if you would tell me, he says, he proves in the Gemara there wouldn't be an issue with Shabbos if we were permitted to use the Chanukah candles for personal needs. So then the only question is, but wait a second. So why does the Gemara then have to go ahead and say you can't count money by the light of the Chanukah candles? After all, if you can't even use the Chanukah candles for a mitzvah to learn by, or to have some other mitzvah need by, so why does the Gemara have to make a separate statement that says you're not allowed to count money? Because again, if you would tell me that the really fundamentally can use the Chanukah candles for a mitzvah, because that's not, there's nothing wrong with using it for a mitzvah. It's not a bizayon, it's not belittling, it's not a degradation of the mitzvah. After all, it's using it for another mitzvah. So then I understand why the Gemara has to say, yeah, but something like counting money, that you can't do. But if you're going to tell me, as the Ran just said, that the prohibition is not only to use the Chanukah candles for, that you're not allowed to use the Chanukah candles for personal needs, but even for a mitzvah, why does the Gemara have to bother telling me I can't count money? Of course not. So says the Ran, not to tell me that no, only optional, only personal activities are forbidden, but mitzvah activities are permitted by the light of the Chanukah candles. No. He says, no, that's kind of the touch of counting money. It's not, are you using the light? You know, you're not really using the light in the same sense. Even that's usur. In other words, basically, the question is, what is the statement of Rav Asi, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi? They're not allowed to count money by the light of the Chanukah candles. Is Rav Asi coming to say specifically that? In other words, he's more lenient. The early the Gemara said, you're not allowed to use it at all. And Rav Asi comes and says, no, you're not allowed to use it for a personal need, but for a mitzvah you can. Is that what he's saying? That's what the Baal HaMor implied. Or no, he's coming to be even more stringent. He's saying, you're not allowed to use it for anything. Not for a mitzvah, not for personal use. Not even for something so simple as counting money. Counting money, you know, it's a tashmish kal. He said it's a light type of use. It's not something which requires that much effort, that much concentration. Even that you're not allowed to do. Because a person might think, okay, no, I can't use the Chanukah candle when I really got to sit down and look at something real carefully that I can't use. But, you know, counting the money, so I can count the money, I can more or less see in the dark, you know what size the coins are, I can figure it out. It's not the candle doesn't contribute that much to it. It's not such a powerful usage, if you will, of the Chanukah candles. That's what Rav Asi is coming to tell you. Even that's forbidden. So we have actually a dispute, therefore, between the these different authorities as to what exactly is meant in this Gemara. At the end of the day, the conclusion is the Gemara, you can't use it. But we don't know. Does it mean you can't use it only for personal needs, but for mitzvah needs you can? That's one opinion. Or do we say, no, you can't use it for anything, not even for mitzvah needs? And the other Gemara that tells you can't use it for coins is telling you even a lighter type of use, even a less significant use of the candles is also forbidden. Now, it's interesting as an aside, I mentioned before the connection, because the common denominator between all those opinions you just mentioned is that the Chanukah candles were modeled after the Beis HaMikdash, after the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, which couldn't be used. But some point out an interesting question, the Meiri raised an interesting question. You know, on the holiday of Sukkot, the Mishnayos tell us there was a very fabulous celebration that took place every night of Chol HaMoed in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. It was called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. On Sukkot, by tradition, we have a requirement to, as part of the daily Sukkot carbon, the sacrifice brought Sukkot morning, in addition to slaughtering the animal and the Nisuch HaYayin, the wine libations, which accompanied all carbonas, on Sukkot you had something unique called the Nisuch HaMayim. They would pour water on the Mizbeach as well. Sukkot, the Mishnah tells us, is the time of year when we're judged for the year as to the amount of rainfall and water that will be provided for us by God. So Sukkot, we have a special service that has to do with praying for rain. And among the things they did was they poured water onto the altar as well as wine, just on Sukkot. And the Mishnayos describe in Maseches Sukkah that there was an entire ceremony that started the night before, you know, it was evening the night before, They would have a whole celebration of the Beis Hamikdash, dancing and singing and juggling and fires burning and a whole simcha, really, all night long, till the morning. And they would blow shofar, they would march down right outside Jerusalem and take a jug full of water and bring it back up. And it was a whole ceremony known as the Simcha space. It was all night ceremony. Some communities, specifically in Hasidic communities, even today, they have on each night of Sukkot a get together, a tish by the Rebbe. They get together and have a Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Today it's with live music and so on. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, also had music. Mishnayos describe all kinds of instruments and a beautiful, beautiful occasion. In fact, it's such an occasion that the Gemara says somebody who's never witnessed the Simchas Beis Hashoeva has never been to a Simcha. If you never saw the Simchas Beis Hashoeva, you don't know what it means to go to a Simcha. But one of the things it says in the Gemara was that the light that emanated from the Makom HaMikdash, because there were so many fires with oil burning and as part of the celebration, was that anywhere in Yerushalayim a woman could sit and could sift through, the Gemara says, the wheat based on that light. She didn't have to have any light in her own house. It was so, the whole place was so lit up that you could sift through. So sift through your wheat. So they raised the question, but wait a minute. If this is talking about the Or Beis HaShoeva, wasn't that part of the Beis HaMikdash? How could somebody sit and sift through, use that light for their personal needs? Interesting question. So some say, no, Tosas anticipates the question. Tosas says, no, it's not saying that women actually did that. It's just trying to tell you there was enough light that you theoretically could do that, right? It's just telling you could. And others say that really it's a Din D'Rabbanan anyways, and it was because of the Simcha, they were lenient about it, different answers. But one thing is for sure, even if that's true about the Or Beis HaShoeva, it's not true about the menorah, because guess what? The menorah was not visible. The menorah was kept in the inner section of the Beis HaMikdash I referred to earlier, right outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The menorah gave off light basically to no one. And that's how the Levush points out. The original menorah in the Beis HaMikdash did not provide light for anybody to use. And therefore, our Hanukkah candles also are not designed to provide light for anybody to use. So again, we have a machlokes, whether it applies to a mitzvah usage or not to a mitzvah usage, but that's the halacha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Aser Lishtame, this is in Arachayim, Simitof Reish Ein Gimel Sif Beis, Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch paskins, Aser Lishtamesh B'ner Hanukkah, even for the purpose of counting money or some lesser significant use. And Shulchan Aruch says, there are some who allow you to use it for a mitzvah purpose, right? But others say no, and it doesn't make a difference whether you're right next to the fire or further from the fire. The majority seems to hold that even for mitzvah purpose, you don't use the Neros Hanukkah. Now, it's conceivable that really, if we pause and think, that this machlokas, this dispute as to whether you can use it for a mitzvah purpose, revolves around the points we mentioned earlier. I said before that according to Rashi, when he presents the Gemara, he says that the purpose of not using the light is shehei nikar shehu ner mitzvah. That's Rashi on the top of Chaf Aleph Mabez and Shabbos. Shehei nikar shehu ner mitzvah. We want it noticeable that it's for the purpose of a mitzvah. The Balamor, the Ramban, and many others said, no, that's not the issue. The issue is not that it's recognizable that it's for a mitzvah, but rather that it's modeled somehow after the use of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Those are two very different reasons. This seems to me that there's much more room to be extra stringent when we want to make that connection to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. If you say that it's just a matter of not using it because we want it to be recognizable for Ner Hanukkah, okay, how does that, a person sitting next to the menorah on Hanukkah learning, that takes away from the fact that he lit it for Hanukkah? A person is doing another mitzvah. On the one hand, we say it's beautiful, right? I mean, why not? You have Ner Hanukkah, it's obviously for Hanukkah, now I'm sitting and learning by the light of this candle. To go ahead and use it to make up my shopping list or to count my money, so that's a personal need, that I understand. That's a bizayon for the mitzvah. But to use the mitzvah for, use the menorah and the candles for a mitzvah, why not? But if you hold that it's restricted or it's connected to the Beis HaMikdash, then it's restricted, no use whatsoever. So it's possible, not always clear, but it's possible that this dispute revolves around that question. As I said, the halacha seems to be that we prefer not to use it at all. But I'd like to suggest that this really keys into something very, very different about the origin of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah in the first place. The Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Mem Beis, a little bit later on that same page, raises the question, my Chanukah, what exactly is Chanukah? So listen carefully to what it says. The Gemara tells a story. The Tana Rabbanan. B'chof hei b'kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, begins Yom of the Chanukah Tamim, 8 days of Chanukah. D'lo l'mispeh b'hon, we have no eulogies on this day. D'lo l'z'anas b'hon, we don't fast on these days. Why? She'kishenichnesu yivonim l'heichol, when the Greeks came into our temple, timu kol hashmonim shebeheichol, they defiled all of the oil. U'kshegavra malchus beis chashmonoim v'nitzchum, when the chashmonoim, the heroes of the Chanukah story, when they took over and they were able to defeat them, Bodku v'lo motzu elapach echad shel shemesh amunuch b'chosoma shel kohen gadol. They searched around and found one flask of oil that had the official seal of approval on it. V'lo haya bo elahadlik yom echad. They had only enough to light one day. Na'asa bo neis. The great miracle happened. V'idliku v'menu shmona yomim. It burned for 8 days. That's how long it was going to take to process the next oil. That's why it was 8 days. It took 8 days. I just want to point out to go and get the new olives from where they're supposed to get it from until they brought it back and processed it, 8 days. And then, L'shana Acheres, the next year, Kivom v'asumim yom tovim b'halel v'hodo. They established these days as holidays, b'halel v'hodo. Halel and hodo. So you look in the Gemara, that's what Hanukkah was established. What do you mean b'halel v'hodo? It says Rashi, there's no work prohibition on Chanukah. The ikar is, the key establishment of Chanukah, is to say Halil and to say Al Hanisim in the bracha of Hodah. That's Modim in the Shemona Esrei or Noda Lecha in the benching. You read that Gemara, what happened to the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles? And not only that, but a major fuss that we always make about Chanukah candles is what we call Pirsumei Nisa. What about publicizing the miracle? Isn't that a key principle of the whole Chanukah celebration? Isn't that one thing we want to do? We always want to light it in a place where people will be able to see it, and we publicize the miracle. Pirsumei Nisa is one of the pivotal elements of Chanukah, missing from that presentation. Okay, it tells the story. Right, there was enough to light, and they lit it for 8 days, and therefore they made these days of Chanukah. You take a look in the Rambam, per Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam also tells the story, which, by the way, is an interesting thing in its own right. The Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah by telling the historical background. The reason that's interesting is the Rambam was not writing a history book, so people wonder, why did the Rambam incorporate the history? Let's say in the beginning of Hilchos Megillah, when he talks about Purim, the Rambam does not begin by telling the whole story with Achashverosh and Mordechai and Esther. Just begins with the halachas. When the Rambam talks about Pesach, Hilchos Chametz Umatz, the Rambam doesn't begin that they're in Egypt, they have 10 plagues. Doesn't tell the story. Suddenly, by Chanukah, the Rambam tells the whole story. It's an interesting question. One of the answers suggested is that Chanukah, remember I mentioned before, there's no Mishnah that speaks about Chanukah. Chanukah is sort of appended to, I shouldn't say there's no Mishnah, Chanukah is referenced in a couple of Mishnayos. But the details are not presented in the Mishnah. There's no Masechta about Chanukah, as I said before, but not only that, but there's really nothing explicit in the entire Kisvei Kodesh. In our scripture, in Tanakh, there's no mention of Chanukah either. See, Purim has a whole book, Megillas Esther. Pesach is described in the Torah, right? Chanukah is not written up anywhere in Kisvei HaKodesh. There's an old work called Megillas Antiochus, but it's not part of the Tanakh. It's not part of our canon. It's not part of our scripture. And therefore, the Rambam felt so fit to include the story in his halachas, because you have to know the story. And the story doesn't appear in the Bible anywhere. So therefore, the Rambam put it in. But anyway, whatever exactly his reason was, if you look carefully in the Rambam writes in Perigimel Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes that they established these days of Chanukah, and they established a mitzvah to light Chanukah candles, leharos ulegalos hanes, to demonstrate, to reveal this great miracle. So according to the Rambam, the idea of lighting Chanukah candles is that we're supposed to put it by our windows or by our doors to emphasize, to stress, to demonstrate to all this great miracle. That point, as I said before, is missing in the Gemara. Doesn't mean the Rambam is not correct. It means the Rambam had, putting all the Gemaras together, perhaps a different understanding. And maybe this too boils down to our very same dispute. You see, perhaps the Gemara, those who read the Gemara at face value, and see that, you know, yes, there's a mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles, but the whole connection is the Beis HaMikdash. Like we said before, the Baal HaMor says, the Ramban says, the Ran says, why are we lighting Hanukkah candles? It's modeled after the candles of the Mikdash. So lighting candles per se is not an act, so to speak, of Pirsumei Nisa. We have to publicize the miracle. There's no debate about that. But that's not why we light candles. Why do we light candles? Because the miracle happened with candles. And the candles are designed to remind us of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. According, perhaps, to the Rambam, the candles, yes, of course, they remind us of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, but the candles are lit because that's a means of publicizing a miracle. Meaning that there are two different ways to examine what exactly is the yesod, what is the foundation of Neros Hanukkah. Is it a commemoration of the fact that they lit in the Mikdash? And Pirsumei Nisa is kind of a secondary element, publicizing the miracle as a secondary element? What do we say the opposite? No. The essence of lighting the candles is to publicize the miracles. Why candles? Why not something else? Because that's what they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Hope I'm making it clear. Two different ways to look at the rabbinic institution to light Hanukkah candles. Either our essence is to do what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, to commemorate, to think about the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and through that to publicize the miracle, or is the essence to publicize the miracle, so to speak, and simply use that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash as the tool for accomplishing that. And our dispute as to what the nature of the prohibition of using the Hanukkah candles is may revolve around that very question. The Rambam, and those who hold like him, that seem to emphasize and stress the significance of publicize the miracle. That's what the Rambam says. Laharos ulegalos haneis. The Rats in Parag Gimel Alach Gimel. The Rambam later in Parag Dal Alach Yud Beis describes the Ner Chanukah as a beautiful mitzvah, beloved mitzvah. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, writes the Rambam, is mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's a most beloved mitzvah because we have to praise God and thank Him for the miracles and publicize the miracles. Again, that point. The Rambam stresses that the very act of lighting Chanukah candles is an act of thanking God, of praising God, of publicizing His miracle. That's what it's about. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, yes, in the back of our minds, that's what it is. That's why we're lighting candles. That's why we're not hanging up a poster or proclaiming in some other way that it's Hanukkah. But the essence is Pirsumei Nisa. The truth is we have Pirsumei Nisa by other mitzvahs as well. Reading the Megillah. The Gemara says that reading the Megillah on Purim is also publicizing the miracle. So the truth is, why not on Hanukkah stand by a doorway and scream out, oh, the great miracle happened, right? Have a public reading. We don't read Megillas Antiochus in public. It's not part of the Bible. We don't read it at all. Most people never heard of it. It's part of our literature, but it's not read in public. What do we do on Hanukkah in public? Light those candles. That's probably the reason why we light the candles in shul, even though nobody lives in shul. And we light candles. Many people have the practice when there's a simcha, get-together, perhaps a wedding, a bar mitzvah celebration on Hanukkah, they light candles. We're always lighting the candles because that publicizes the miracle. The connection to the Beis HaMikdash, while not unimportant, I don't want to overstate the case, it's important, but it's secondary to publicizing the miracle. And others seem to say no. The others say that the essence of Hanukkah candles is to connect us to the candles of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, if that's the case, if we're connected to the flames of the Beis HaMikdash, then the rules have to be modeled after what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, you can't use the Hanukkah candles at all. Not for your personal needs, not for a mitzvah need, not for nothing. Can't use it at all, just like in the Beis HaMikdash. Like we quoted before, the Levush said, the light of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash didn't provide any light for anybody, for anything. And that should be our Hanukkah candles as well. But if you say the other way, if you say that, no, the essence is publicizing the miracle, then we can think, you know, something to use the candles for my own personal needs. That's disrespectful. But for a mitzvah, why not? That's part of the triumph, so to speak. We have mitzvahs. Part of the beauty of Hanukkah is the triumph of Hanukkah was that the world of Torah mitzvahs won out. So why not do a mitzvah by the Hanukkah candles? So this dispute about the nature of the prohibition of what you can do by the Hanukkah candles, what you can't do by the Hanukkah candles, may boil down, perhaps, just a suggestion, to this very fundamental question, what is the essence, what is the nature of this mitzvah, of lighting Hanukkah candles? What do we think about? And the truth of the matter is, if you can say, Haneiros Halalu Kodesh Heim, because that seems to connect it to the Beis HaMikdash. But the rest of Aneiros Halalu says, V'ein lanu reshus lishtamish b'hen aleirosim b'vad kidei lahodos ulahalel, to thank you and to praise you. So really, Aneiros Halalu incorporates both items, both points. And the truth is, of course, both are correct. We do connect to the Beis HaMikdash, we do publicize the miracle and thank Hashem. The question is, what is the essence? And that may be the source of this dispute. Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, the Gemara later on, the next daf, Chav Beis and Beis, in Masechah Shabbos, speaks about one of the lights in the Beis HaMikdash. And there was one that would burn longer than all the others. It says, the Gemara says, Moshe Rav Sheshet, Michutz HaParochet Yeruz Yaroch, V'chila Oru Tzorech. Why do you have to have a light in the Beis HaMikdash anyway? V'chila Oru Tzorech, does God need the light? He can't see without it? Obviously it's not the case. Okay? V'halo kol arboim shan shalchu b'nei sobe mibra lo holchu ala la oro. Whose fire, whose light directed the Jewish people? God's. So he needs inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Mishkan, needs a light. Ella, here's the line, Eidus hi l'boi olam shashchina shora b'Yisrael. These lights in the Beis HaMikdash provide Eidus, provide testimony to all in the world that the Shechina, God's presence, dwells among Klal Yisrael. My Eidus, what's the Eidus? Amarav zu ner maravi shenosen bo shemen kemidas chavrusel umimena haya madlik ubo haya misayim. He says the westernmost light in the menorah was filled with the same amount of oil. The cup that held the oil contained the same measurements as all the other lights of the menorah. It was the same amount of oil, but umimena haya madlik, that was the first one that was lit, ubo haya misayim was the last one that went out. How is it possible? Right? The answer is, there was a miracle, and this demonstrates God's presence. What do we see from this Gemara? So Soloveitchik pointed out that light and flame in the framework of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, was some form of testimony of his special relationship with the Jewish people. If that's the case, the Rav suggested, the same is true about the Neiros of Chanukah. The Neiros of Chanukah provide testimony that God dwells amongst us. As a matter of fact, it's pivotal to realize that the Chanukah story took place, as we've mentioned now a couple of times, in the post-biblical period. It's after the Tanakh was sealed. It's towards the end of the Second Temple period, 150 years or so before the destruction of the Second Temple. Actually, give me a couple hundred years before, a little more than 200 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. It was a time that, for the most part, was a dark time. There was no more Jewish king. The Jews were under the sovereignty of other nations at that point. Then, after Hanukkah, they took over, had a Jewish king for a while. But up until that point, there was not a Jewish king. Many Jews were abandoning the way of Torah and Mitzvahs. It was a dark time for the Jewish people. And even then, God says, I'm still with you. So the Hanukkah candles are designed to tell the world, and to tell us, of course, tell ourselves, that God is still in our midst. Therefore, it's possible to suggest that the Hanukkah candles are lit not so much to commemorate what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, although that is there, but to remind us of what that represents. There's a fascinating comment that the Ramban makes. Medrash, a difficult medrash. The medrash says that when the tabernacle was built, the Mishkan was built, so each day for 12 days, a different tribal leader came forward and offered a sacrifice on behalf of his tribe as part of the celebration when they built the Mishkan. As it happens, this is the Torah reading on Hanukkah. So we lay in on Hanukkah. Hanukkah, again, what are you going to read from the Torah? There's nothing in the Torah about Hanukkah, obviously. So we read something that relates to a dedication. And we read about the dedication of the Mishkan. And it was a big celebration. It did not happen this time of year. It happened in the month of Nisan, before Pesach. So just about a year after they came out of Egypt. So every day, for 12 days, a different tribal leader came forward and brought a sacrifice on behalf of his tribe. Only one tribe was not included. And that was the tribe of the Kohanim, the Levim. And Aaron HaKohen, the high priest Aaron, felt bad. He felt bad because all the other tribes got to participate, and he didn't get to participate. And the Medrash says God told him, don't you worry, you have a bigger thing. You'll be able to light the candles in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What a strange Medrash. First of all, Aaron, had lots of things at spare. He was the only one who went into the Holy of Holies in Yom Kippur. He was the high priest. I mean, as Aaron, most of the people who participated in the dedication ceremony, that was it. They didn't have any other role in the temple from then on. The Kohanim, the Levim, Aaron HaKohen had many roles afterwards. What's he being greedy? What's he complaining about? So for 1 week, or 12 days to be precise, every tribal leader got to come forward and bring a sacrifice for on behalf of his tribe. The tribe of Levi and the Kohanim, they were in the Beis HaMikdash, they were in the Mishkan all the time, they served in the Mishkan. What's Aaron grouchy about? He didn't get to participate. What do you mean? You got lots of things. And then the answer, don't worry, you get to light the menorah. Well, what's the answer? So perhaps the answer is this very point. The lighting of the menorah represents the presence of God in our midst. That's what Aaron was told. What was he dejected about? The people all celebrated. You look carefully in the Psukim in Parshas, the end of Parshas Pekudei and in Parshas Shmini, it speaks about that there was a celebratory mood when the Mishkan was completed. And everybody participated in this celebration, which the presence of God was palpable. That's what the verses say. The end of Parshas Pekud, the end of Chumash Mos, says a couple of times, "Uchvod Hashem nira ba'anan." God's glory was perceived in a cloud right above the Mishkan. And again in Parshas Shmini, similar such verses. So that point, Aaron wanted to be a participant, because this is the visible relationship that the Jewish people have with God. That's why he was depressed. Not that he didn't have enough to do in the Beis HaMikdash. He had plenty of things he could do. But here was something that was palpable, it was visible, in terms of God visiting his Shekhinah upon the Jewish people. So God told him, no, don't worry, you have something else. You light the candles. What's the answer? How does that calm him down? How does that pacify him? How does that ameliorate his concern? No. Because what is the lighting of the candles? The lighting of the candles we just read in the Gemara was also a sign of God's presence within the Jewish people. And the Ramban goes on to connect this to Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah also is that mitzvah which was done back then, is still being done today, 2,000 years later. People light Chanukah candles, and by doing so, we link up to the future Beis HaMikdash, like we say in the song Ma'oz Tzur, Oz Egmor B'Sher Mizmor Chanukah Samizbeach, right? There'll come a time, Oz, in the future, then I'll be able to really sing Oz Egmor, I'll be able to finish the song. Right now, it's a partial song. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash now, so we light candles to keep the link and the chain of tradition going. But eventually, there'll come a time, Oz Egmor, we'll be able to finish the song and sing in the truest sense. So if that's the case, it could well be that this idea of lighting Chanukah candles is designed to show the world and to show ourselves our status and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's conceivable, the Rav said, that this is something which the Greeks were bothered by. The Greeks resented Jewish concept of being the chosen people. They didn't like that. Everybody's the same. Or why are these people different? And so on. It's a thing that we've lived with for millennia. People don't like the fact that Jews consider themselves chosen. Just recently, there's been some literature about this very subject. It's still a problem today. But whatever it means, and however we solve the problem, we do believe we're chosen, not necessarily better than anybody else, but different and chosen for a particular mission. So we have the opportunity on Chanukah to demonstrate that to the street, to demonstrate that to ourselves. That's the essence of lighting the Chanukah candles. V'meila, we started with the concept, Haneros Halalu Kodesh Heim. Why are they Kodesh according to this view? Not so much because of the connection to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, okay, but to the notion that this is a signal, a sign that God is with us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our midst, that even today, even in the post-biblical period, and by extension, even in the post-temple period, God still does miracles, God still cares for us, God is still with us. That was what Rabban says, what Aaron was calmed by, knowing that because of his mitzvah, the lighting of the candles, there'd be something that Jews would participate in forever. So, to summarize, it's not that one answer is better or more correct than the other. Really, the Chanukah candles symbolize two things, I would submit. One is the connection to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the menorah, and the other is this notion of publicizing. So some emphasize one more than the other in terms of our authorities, and therefore it's possible that the dispute in halacha that we started with of what you're allowed to use the Chanukah candle light for, whether for mitzvah purposes or not even for that, may revolve around that dispute. But ultimately, we need to understand that when we come to light the Chanukah candles, we're really doing two things. We're redoing what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the essence of the miracle revolved around a menorah. But I think a lot of what we said, especially according to the Rambam, perhaps it's more than that. It's something which gives us the opportunity to demonstrate laharos legalos hanes. Laharos means to show, and the Rav said legalos means to uncover something which was hidden. Perhaps this notion of God's relation with us is hidden. Sometimes we certainly feel like it's hidden because we don't experience it. But Chanukah is a time that we can experience it. Chanukah is a time we can have that palpable connection, if only for a few moments. Baruch Hashem, families get together, Chanukah night, we stand around a menorah, sometimes only for a few minutes. People today are very rushed and people have things to do. You know, there was a tradition at one time, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that women didn't do malacha, women didn't do any work while the Chanukah candles are burning. You don't work. You don't just run away from the Chanukah candles. Today we have more hectic lives, so we don't always sit by the Chanukah candles. But at least for those few minutes, we stand by the Chanukah candles, and if you have the right approach, perhaps you can feel the presence of the Shekhinah right then and there. You can feel that this is I'm a link in a tradition, that this is something that's been going on for thousands of years, and we express the hope that it'll lead eventually to the binyan, to the building of the next Beis HaMikdash. I am part of a glorious chain. It's not just to commemorate what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but as we said in the Gemara, Eidos, it reminds us of the testimony, the proof, Leboy Olam Shashkina Shor B'Yisrael, that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is in our midst. That's the challenge of Chanukah. I'll just conclude by noting that's perhaps for this reason, that, you know, Chanukah, in some ways, you don't necessarily, you have to work harder to feel the beauty of Chanukah. You don't necessarily feel it, you know, take Purim. Purim is such a busy day. We're busy cooking and delivering food to people and running to hear the Megillah. You know, Purim is such an active, busy day. Pesach, I don't have to speak about how busy it is, especially in advance. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, you know, we're Chodesh El, we're getting ready. Comes Chanukah, you know, is life that much different on Chanukah than the other day of the year? I mean, yeah, the davening is a little long in the morning, but we go to work, and we have, you know, we do pretty much, the day is pretty much the same. And at night, we light the candles. Now, some people have family get-togethers and parties and chagigas, and it's very beautiful. But the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, there's no particular mitzvah to have a meal on Chanukah, on Purim there is, but not on Chanukah. There's you don't have to have bread, you don't have to have meat, and some people have a dafka, have a custom to have milchigs, but there's no obligation to outwardly manifest the Simcha of Chanukah. So where is the Simcha of Chanukah? I suggest what we're saying here tonight. The Simcha of Chanukah is the lighting of the candles. That's really all there is to Chanukah. Yes, as Rashi said, there's the Hallel that we say in the morning, and then they say Alam Nisim in the davening, but those things are not something that have, you know, that make the day noticeably different than any other day of the year. It's the Chanukah candles. It may just be for a few moments, but that's all it really needs. If a person, it's like a booster shot to feel the presence of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's our challenge. When we come to light the candles in the dark in the room, and those fires go on near the window or near the door, wherever it is that somebody lights, you're supposed to feel the Shekhinah, the presence of the Shekhinah. Eidos l'chol bo'i olam shashchina shor b'Yisrael. Testimony that God's presence is among Klal Yisrael. That's the Simcha of Chanukah, and according to at least some, that may be the very essence of the institution of lighting Chanukah candles in the first place.